Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the new creature in Christ Jesus. Chapter 6. The new creature put in evidence by the contrast with the most emblematic figures of the natural human being. Topic: G. Why to teach Christians that in Christ circumcision does not avail anything. Considering that in Christ there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, and that the condition of circumcision or uncircumcision does not present virtues for the new creature, why then should a Christian have an understanding of these matters? The answer to the above question is straightforward. A Christian should have due knowledge about these aspects, because these themes are recurrent in the lives of human beings and their societies in each generation, as has been mentioned in previous topics. Since not all people know the newness of life in Christ, and since not all people want a life in Christ, the two distinct styles of the same kind of life that exist in the exemplified Jew-Greek ruler end up manifesting themselves repeatedly among people of all epochs. We have seen previously that many of those who are associated with the style of circumcision or similar to it, for instance, do not want the people who live in Christ to remain steadfast in their new way of life, for this newness presents an alternative of life different from the life that is lived by those who defend the model of circumcision, and challenges them to change when they do not really want to change. We have also seen that many people do not want to change to the new life in Christ because of their greed and the gains they think they are getting by the model of life contrary to the will of God. Proposals that are in line with the concept of circumcision may even be financially very profitable for those who propose them to others, even generating great trades around this lifestyle and all the rituals associated with it. A point also addressed in the subject on the Christian and the riches and about the other gospel. On the other hand, there are also groups of people who like the fact that someone establishes rules of discipline and predetermined conducts to be followed and obeyed. Many people want the convenience of not having to seek God and His truth personally, but who do not want to go so far as to despise God entirely. Thus, they are pleased when others set out to guide their so-called spiritual lives, and when others are willing to give them manuals of rules and conduct that they must practice daily in an attempt to be right with God and continue to be blessed by Him. Some people even pay fortunes for someone to tell them the end steps they must take to be successful before God and to succeed in the face of human beings. Many people, indeed, prefer a life governed by some previous writings of conduct exposed to them by their fellow men instead of depending daily on the leading of God through the Holy Spirit. Many people prefer to memorize a list of commandments, including the Ten Commandments of the Law of Moses, than to prostrate themselves in true humility before God to be personally and continually instructed by the Lord. Even some Christians who do not remain in the Lord's direction through the Holy Spirit granted to their hearts may fall back on concepts that are in line with the propositions or ideas associated with circumcision. This return to the lifestyle in conformity with some propositions associated with circumcision attracts some people also because the style may seem safer and less challenging to them than to continually seek fellowship with the Heavenly Lord. Nevertheless, one of the main problems of returning to the precepts associated with the model of circumcision lies in the fact that a little return to the style of circumcision is like a leaven that corrupts the whole lump. If a person wants to adopt a little of the concept of circumcision, one places oneself under the obligation to return to all aspects of circumcision or to the full practice of the whole law of Moses, including the practice of acts and sacrifices that are not pleasing to him or her. Moreover, the sad thing is that the practice of the items of the law of Moses, or similar to it or with other names, is vain, for whoever goes back to being under the concepts of circumcision also puts oneself under the condition of cursed before God. And in turn, cursed means not blessed. It means one who is not seen as a righteous person because one has not been justified by the grace and righteousness of Christ freely offered to all. In other words, the one who returns to the items of the law or the concepts associated with circumcision also despises, simultaneously, the justification of Christ performed on the cross of Calvary. The practice of items of the law of Moses or similar to it may have an appearance of being more convenient for the flesh or the soul, but it is only in the appearance level, for if a person opts for the convenience of some items of the law, one also becomes obligated to keep all the items of the law. And this is a path without any possibility of success before the Lord and with a burden that cannot be successfully borne by any human being. The practice of law items may look more comfortable, but it will never fill the existential emptiness that is in the hearts of people who are estranged from their Creator, for as it is an option to walk by fleshly striving and not by the presence of the Spirit of the Lord in the heart, the person who follows it also becomes deprived of the newness of life and strength that can only be provided to him or her by the Spirit of the Lord. A person being situated in a cursed condition before God does not always imply that one is not going to achieve material successes, but it means that one is alienated from reconciliation with God for eternal life and continual fellowship with the Lord. It is only by the grace of Christ that a person can achieve the condition of being blessed and reconciled with God. Circumcision, as has already been said, came to mean a concept that may be expressed by many different acts. And if a person returns to performing actions associated with circumcision, one will also need to be perfect in everything he or she does, for by opting for the path of circumcision, an individual also chooses to seek justification or righteousness through one's works, and not through the redemptive grace of the Heavenly Father and faith in Christ. Repeating once again here what the Scriptures teach us, if someone associates oneself with the concepts behind circumcision, which is justification by signs, ancestry, or works of the law or the flesh, one is also bound to keep all the items of the law that he or she has decided to follow. Going back, for example, to religiously keeping a day of the week, whether it be the Sabbath, Sunday, or any other day, thinking that it is a way of justification before God, is a way for a person to return to the precepts associated with circumcision. Going back to the practices of giving tithes and offerings to some priests or levites, even if they are called by other titles, such as pastors, leaders, spiritual fathers, or guides, is a very energetic return to the way of life of the order of Aaron or the law of Moses, and, therefore, of the concept of circumcision. In a sense, the practice of giving tithes and offerings to structures and people who present themselves as priests or levites of others may still do damage far beyond the religious keeping of the Sabbath or Sunday. Tithing and offerings provide support for the establishment of persons and institutions that become ministers that propagate, preach, officiate services, and instigate other individuals to become again followers at the concepts that are associated with a model of life that is like circumcision or like a law of works similar to those of the law of Moses, even if their rules of conduct are called by other names. The person who gives tithes, first fruits, or offerings in a manner akin to the law of Moses not only opposes the grace of Christ, but also sponsors the emergence of ministries that subsequently will stand up in resistance to the grace of God and will try to impose on people the most diverse forms of acts practiced according to the concepts associated with the idea of circumcision. It is, therefore, vital for Christians to be aware that the seemingly harmless propositions of the concepts associated with the circumcision model are also related to vain philosophies, doctrines, and even to the spirits of deceit and fascination, and which, if accepted, may do great harm to the condition of faith and of a new creature that a Christian receives from the Lord, as exemplified in a few more texts below. Galatians 5:1-9. Stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. 1 Timothy 4, 1-2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Galatians 2, 19-3, 7. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. O foolish Galatians! Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you: did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore know that those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. 2 Corinthians 3, 14-16. But their minds were blinded. For until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. A little devotion to the concept that is associated with the model of circumcision has the power to leaven and corrupt the whole lump, the entire heart that embraces it, and perhaps even a whole group that surrenders to its propositions. A Christian who allows oneself to become embroiled in the practices associated with the concept of circumcision, and does not repent in due time and does not return to the direct relationship with Christ, may even become estranged from Christ and fall from God's heavenly grace that has been granted to him or her. Also, the idea that a person who once accepted Christ is forever saved, once saved, always saved, regardless of one's attitudes, is a concept equal to the concept of circumcision or the model so-called Jew. This concept relies on a sign, act, or practice made once in a lifetime, and not on the Christian's remaining in the heavenly grace and the living faith in God. Therefore, this idea similarly is a corrupt proposition, just as it is the attempt to sustain the concepts associated with the so-called circumcision. And if someone has distanced oneself from the grace of God and from Christ Jesus, the solution is just one, namely, an immediate, personal, and direct return to Christ, through faith in the Lord, increased, according to the Lord's direction, of repentance of the practices and concepts associated with circumcision which were accepted in the heart. But if a person who was in Christ and turned away from him came to associate with the concepts of circumcision, can he or she still return to the Lord? Let us see what the following texts teach us. 2 Corinthians 3:16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Romans 11:23. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. On the other hand, as it has been mentioned before, a severe or dangerous problem in the practice of the concepts of circumcision is that these are like leaven that grows and yeasts all the lump that lies ahead, which may lead a person to a condition where the return to Christ becomes increasingly difficult because of the hardness of heart that these concepts can produce. Hebrews 6:7-8. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it, and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God, but if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. Why, then, is it so significant for a Christian to know that circumcision has no value or does not avail anything regarding the new creation in Christ? The Christian needs to be warned about the dangers associated with the concepts and practices that are related to circumcision in order not to return to them, or yet to return to Christ and repent as soon as one realizes a little or a lot of the leaven of the concepts of circumcision in his or her life. When there is repentance in leaving the yeast that is associated with the concept of circumcision, the Christian presents oneself to God as a new lump so that the Lord may perform in him or her, or on behalf of him or her, the wonderful works of his goodness and which the Lord has reserved for those who have in high esteem their life as a new creature in Christ Jesus. The propositions associated with the concepts of circumcision are often presented as harmless, beneficent, or that even could serve as valuable disciplines so that the Christian life itself could be better practiced. However, they are not beneficial and, if accepted, may grow and take up a much larger space in a person's life than an individual might have initially considered. The concepts of circumcision, once accepted, will always try to reconstruct or reconstitute as much as they can from the various aspects that were in the law of Moses, even though they try to do so with practices with distinct appearances or renamed with other terms or names. What, for instance, begins with a small routine of keeping the Sabbath or Sunday considered as an external expression that proposes to ratify a person's faith, in the sequence grows into a need for temples made by human hands for the realization of meetings. The temples, in turn, need priests and Levites to administer them, and the priests and Levites need the tithes and offerings of the people to perform the administration, under the allegation that everything is for the good of the people. But deep down, they are all practices of the ancient patterns of circumcision that have no virtue before the new creature in Christ. Finally, the more expressive priests, Levites, or ministers assume the thrones that temples and human structures require to be assumed, and the people who should serve God in the freedom that the Lord offers to the new creature start again to serve the structures, institutions, priests, Levites, or the so-called leaders who officiate their ministries in these structures. When people return to the attempts of building up, even partially, what the Lord Jesus Christ has already declared to be outdated and revoked by his work on the cross of Calvary, they end up putting themselves in danger of returning to the bondage of laws associated with the concepts of circumcision. They place themselves at risk of becoming enslaved again to the conditions they no longer need to undergo because Christ has already made provision for their freedom in the Lord. And wide is the list of texts in which the Lord warns Christians no longer to subject themselves to precepts that are associated with the broad concept of circumcision, as presented in a few more examples below. Matthew 23:8-10. But you, do not be called rabbi, or masters, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your Father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, or guides or leaders, for one is your teacher, or guide, the Christ. Acts 7:48-51. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me? Says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. The concept of circumcision, when it is given space for it to grow in the heart of a person or a specific group of people, may reach such boldness that people simply let themselves be led to despise the direct words of the Lord Jesus Christ, such as those proclaimed by him when he told his disciples that they should never have among them the practice of electing people to call them their guides, leaders, teachers or masters, or fathers. The concepts associated with the idea of circumcision, when welcomed by an individual, have a very strong power of fascination and enchantment, to the point that this person may come to think that the Lord is pleased with temples made by human hands, despising that God is looking for broken and contrite hearts so that he may dwell in his children and that he may have continuous fellowship with them at all times and in all places. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Isaiah 57, 15. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Since the concepts associated with circumcision are so directly opposed to the newness of life offered by God in Christ Jesus, it is crucial for Christians to be aware of these concepts in order to duly stay away from what is not intended to benefit them. What, then, is the new creature called to do or follow each new day? What is the predefined set of rules for it? The new creature is not called to be guided by the beforehand written or defined rules as it was in the model of circumcision. The Christian is called to be guided in all the truth and all the will of God by the living Holy Spirit of God, who always instructs him or her according to the written word of God, but also according to the living instruction for every circumstance. The concept of circumcision may have the appearance of humility or godliness, but since it is based on human, natural, or temporal actions, its foundation is not durable or reliable, a reason why it should be known in its broader concept to be duly rejected. Knowing, therefore, the fragility and inefficacy of the concepts associated with the circumcision can be vital or decisive for a person to remain dissociated from them, as well as to have a broader understanding that only the grace of God can establish an individual in the unshakable and eternal kingdom. Hebrews 12, 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear.